joining us on this cold day. My name is Tara Ramanathan. Montrese introduced me. I've been at Public Health Law Program for about 4 or 5 years now, and I wanted to share with you sort of what we do. Before I do that, of course, disclaimer, I have no financial relationships, no personal interests. And of course, the other one on here, as for those of you who are not lawyers, which I think is the majority of you, we don't provide legal advice. So if you need that, please consult an attorney in your jurisdiction. How many of you... Oh, sure. Is that better? Okay, sorry about that. How many of you are already familiar with CDC and or the Public Health Law Program? So, a few of you. Okay, so I will go... I've provided some information about what we do in the beginning before I get to the actual 5 and 10, so I'll be efficient about it. Just so you know, CDC has had a public health law program since about 2000. It was established primarily and I think funded in response to the 9/11. Yes, I'm sorry, the outbreak, the anthrax and all of the emergency preparedness issues that came up in 2000 and 2001. Over the course of the last maybe 14, 15 years, we've changed and developed. We've gotten smaller, we've gotten bigger, but I think what is most interesting is we've branched out from what was essentially our emergency preparedness function to include topics related to infectious disease, chronic disease. We work with CDC scientists and, of course, state and local jurisdictions and folks in the public who want information about a wide variety of legal issues that relate to their primary public health interest. And over the last 4 years in particular, we've kind of been absorbed into a larger office that is we provide services to the various jurisdictions, state, tribal, local, and territorial jurisdictions in the United States. And with that, we have obviously leadership that supports that service function, and a lot of the things I'm going to describe to you sort of fall within that ambit. So, quickly, our mission: we want to advance the use of law as a public health tool. We provide services, we provide resources, and those are my 5 and 10, which I will get to. But we serve both programs at CDC as well as the public. And so these are all going to sort of relate to how you all can work with us to sort of advance what it is that you all need to do in order to improve the use of law in your jurisdictions and in your work. So I just included a bunch of projects. Those are really small, and I don't expect you to be able to read them all, but essentially they cover all sorts of centers, areas, topics within CDC. We are diverse in sort of the projects that we choose to consult on, but I think also in addition, it speaks to how much law is sort of incorporated as an area of interest and an issue in a variety of programs, be that hepatitis B in pregnant women or coroners, medical examiner related laws, community health needs assessment, accountable care, I'll get to that, but healthcare reform activities generally. And of course, I guess we have more, but things related to healthcare quality, chronic disease, sexual violence prevention. Law plays an important role in all of these topics, and we sort of assist. Our work is centered on two different sort of goals. We try to be proactive and reactive in our work, and I think we are trying to make a difference to people. So for you all, in your particular areas of interest, we try to serve those kinds of interests and improve the work that everyone else does, but also we try to impact the systems that are in place to promote the use of law, things like workforce development, improving how much folks like you know about law and how it can be useful to you. And we do research to kind of show impact of law on various topics, and I will get to that as well. So this is my 5 in 10. Oh, yes. So I'm going to describe what we do in the kind of context of a case study. A program at CDC, the Division for Healthcare Quality Promotion, approached us in 2010 to ask us to work with them to study the use of law to bring down the number and the burden of healthcare-associated infections among the states. And the request originally, of course, came from state health departments, which wanted this sort of assistance. So first of the 5 and 10 is we provide research assistance. The two sorts of things which I've described here started in 2010 continue to this day. The first is we do legal assessments, what people call 50-state surveys, and then the updating of those surveys and tracking of laws in real time to understand what is going on and how people are using law to essentially address this issue. And of course, we also provide evaluation work. So we work with other programs at CDC to study, well, so somebody passed the law, then what happened? And did the law work? And that's sort of the research. So number two of the 5 and 10 is technical assistance. We provide targeted sort of legal analysis answers to folks who actually come to us wanting to know about specific topics within this larger area of healthcare-associated infections. So in this case, we've provided answers to folks in jurisdictions, particularly related to injection safety. After the fungal meningitis outbreak a couple of years ago, folks were calling about compounding pharmacies and the authorities that states had to regulate them. Healthcare quality in outpatient settings is becoming an issue. Antibiotic resistance could fall under this list. So things like that. We provide quick sort of technical assistance. A lot of that is honestly connecting folks to other people in the field, making use of the relationships we have with all of the folks sitting at this table and their organizations to sort of answer what people need and do it in a timely fashion. The third of my 5 and 10 is sort of this general subject matter expertise, but it really relates to our role as sort of lawyers, state and local government attorneys sitting at CDC. Folks will come to us from programs and say, I am working on a toolkit of state policy options, which is the first document there, or I'm trying to engage stakeholders in the field, the second document there, and will you serve as the attorney on this project? And so we will come on board and we will sort of do the legal analysis and we will stay with them the whole way and sort of frame questions and make sure that the ways that they are trying to interact with people incorporate the right sort of principles that have to do with, you know, what's going on in the field, related to law in particular. So this also works for people in the field. The folks that call us rely on us to be an attorney on a work group or whatever it might be. So that also leads into the sort of presentations and publications, and we provide a lot of this on our website, and these are all related to HAIs in particular, but we would expect and hope that folks in the field can use the information in these articles to work on whatever it is they need or provide information that we put on our website in terms of slide sets to educate folks if, you know, you work in a university or you work in a hospital setting and you want more information. Folks can take that and use it, which is, Montrese talked about that a little while ago. And finally, we, under the rubric of what we're calling legal epidemiology, we try to analyze law and make it accessible, understandable, and valuable to scientists in particular, because I think this is the more that we are able to measure what we do and the success of what we do, the more folks are likely to understand how to write these things and how to craft these things and how to use them in the field. So these things being laws, and the top sort of picture there is an Excel file where we have coded and sort of tried to quantify legal provisions across the 50 states. That's what we're calling a 50-state assessment, and in addition, the kind of sort of very rough table on the bottom there is a result of a legal evaluation where we studied the impact of law on healthcare-associated infection activities at the state level. And so there are some random results kind of organized there which haven't been finalized as yet. But I wanted to show you kind of how we make this stuff accessible to scientists in particular. So that's my 5 and 10. Just I want to leave you with the kind of ways that we make that useful to folks in the field, and the first is we try to translate it into things where you can see and use and download, including this sort of mapping tool for a particular assessment on electronic health information related state law provisions. And these kinds of tools are available. There's a public website called data.cdc.gov, which houses some of this information, or will house some of this information. We also provide sort of targeted packages of these sorts of products that we put out. So health system transformation related to sort of activities in states related to healthcare reform. A bunch of the topics I've listed on the left, the publication topics, including hospital presumptive eligibility and social impact bonds, accreditation-related laws. These things are available on our website, and we try to make them accessible by providing you a slide set related to the topic that folks can download and use, a type of research anthology that lists out sort of public health or scientific articles that we have found that speak to the use of law on that subject, and of course, basic kind of articles and things that we write on them. And finally, we do these studies, and we have a few I've listed again on the left, some ongoing projects that we do related to legal epidemiology, and so qualitative studies of the impact of law on a variety of topics. We see HAI laws, of course, I mentioned those, public health laboratory sharing services, that study wrapped up about a year ago, access to electronic health records, we're in a two-phase qualitative evaluation of that, in particular during outbreaks, and also drug control studies. Those are, I think, beginning or ongoing this year as well. So wanted to leave you with that, and the last thing relates to the next presentation that you're going to hear about. Our last function in public health law that we are really privileged to be part of is that we are able to fund other lawyers, other legal organizations in the United States to kind of carry forward this work and make it accessible to folks. So these organizations are part of the Legal Organizations Consortium, and Maris is going to talk about that next, and they work with us frequently, and it's really a pleasure. So thank you.